You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
This is East Carolina Hall of Famer and Utah Jazz first-round draft pick Blue Edwards. You're listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime on The Sports Objective, your home for the best East Carolina hoops coverage.
Welcome into the Pirate Basketball Overtime on the Sports Objective. Pirates get a big win yesterday, Williams Arena at Menjies Coliseum. A Pirates win, a big win over Campbell, 77-63. Let's bring in now Bubba Rosenbaum. What's up, dude?
Not a whole lot, Dave. Just doing some things around the house this afternoon. But, yeah, great weekend for the Pirates. You know, you get a much needed, to say the least, win in football. But then, as you mentioned, the 77-63 win over Campbell, and it really wasn't that close. Pirates led by 25 on a couple occasions there, not quite halfway through the second half, and pretty much maintained that lead. Campbell got it down to 11 in the final minute with just 52 or 53 seconds remaining. But, you know, it was a comfortable win, and it was largely, you know, Anthony Del Orso that kept the Camels, you know, somewhat in the game. And he had 35. You had R.J. Felton with a career high 30 for the Pirates, and he also had 11 rebounds to post a double-double.
Let's bring in from the great state, the Commonwealth, actually, of Connecticut, Matt Semenza. How are you, man?
What's up, guys? From lovely New England. It's starting to get freezing up here.
The weather's
changing. It's officially moved into winter. I'm actually getting ready to hopefully get the Christmas tree up maybe later in the week. So I get it up early. But anyway, good game yesterday. Really good performance. The game was never in question. I thought that East Carolina was clearly the superior team in every facet. I thought our depth showed. I thought our perimeter shooting looked much improved. And I think just overall, just a comfort level on the floor when you watch the guys we have, the personnel play together, they just look more cohesive and just look more comfortable on the floor together.
No doubt. I was going to say Connecticut, where the taxes are high and the temperatures are low. So
that's actually a great slogan. I need like a bumper sticker that says that.
Well, you can, hey, you're my friend. You can take it. You can take it because you put up with the, both of those bad things. So you can definitely have it. I don't want either one of those. And I'll tell you what, by the way, those of you joining live, we have a doubleheader as we have this time of year where we have basketball and football at the same time. So we'll have our Pirate football playback will be coming up right after the show. So those who are joining us now, stay tuned. We have Justin and Jessica, Justin Butts, Chuck. Appreciate y'all joining us here for the Pirate Basketball Overtime. JR, what's up, brother? Appreciate you joining us. And guys, Bubba and Matt, I was really happy with this team because, first of all, by the way, got a chance to sit in my new seats for the first time, and I'm at the corner there, not close to this end, but it's actually, I can't do it with my finger the way I wanted to, but it's the far end of the, from where I'm am perched up here in Williams Arena. But anyway, the seats are fabulous. They did a great job with those. And I know Bubba and I were talking about in the green room. If you bought the seats, please come on down.
Yeah, Justin Butt says, Dave, come on down courtside.
All right.
So, but
yeah, you're right. I'm in the seats, in the purple seats, and you're On the cross, I guess, Justin, you're across the way where radio and television is on that side of. I'm right behind the opposing bench. So it was a great win. And I tell you what, it seems like that we have a great rivalry, Matt and Bubba, with Campbell. But there was no question with this this team. It just felt like with having the second year for Coach Schwartz, this team was very, very – the chemistry, I don't know if you guys thought it, but the chemistry is top-notch with this team. I'm really happy to see guys playing together, defenses there. There wasn't really – I didn't see breakdowns in the defense. Did you guys feel that way?
That's where I was going to take this as far as the defense is concerned. That was one of the – despite the 30-point win against the Division III opponent, Coach Schwartz was – not happy whatsoever with the defensive performance on, and I was careful to use the word performance and not effort, because he said the effort, really wasn't subpar necessarily, but the performance as a whole, you know, well below his expectations. He said all of practice on Tuesday and Wednesday was spent on defense. And cleaning things up there, especially going against a team like Campbell, where they run somewhat of a Princeton style offense. And he was very pleased in the post game yesterday with how we played. I don't know the number exactly. I want to say it was 14 or 15 steals. I know we had at least five guys with two or more steals, either two or three steals, which was impressive. You had Jaden Walker had three steals. Quentin DeBougie had three steals. Bobby Pettiford, and we'll go through the scoring for the team here a little bit later on, but Bobby Pettiford, who had 8 points, seven assists, and a couple of steals in 26 minutes after playing 18 against Ferrum on Monday night. Bobby got the start, looked very good, made a few explosive moves to the basket, had one, I believe it's a fast break dunk. I remember my dad, when I was talking to him last night, because he and my mom were able to attend. My dad said, "Hey, how about that dunk by Bobby Pettiford?" So,
yeah.
So Matt, what did you think about the performance of Zip, as they call him?
I thought he looked sharp. I thought he had some nice explosive moves to the basket, and I think he. You know, he looks to facilitate the offense. He's a very unselfish player based on, you know, the limited action that I've seen. You know, you get a lot of shoot first point guards these days. He looks like the type of point guard that likes to facilitate, get everybody involved, and then, you know, get his shots up when they're available. But I think he's only going to continue to improve and get healthier. You know, he's been obviously been dealing with this hamstring now for the last month or so. So he's still rounding into shape a little bit. But, you know, I think the thing with this team is you now have guys that can knock down shots from the perimeter. You know, we do a lot of, you know, pick and pop and a lot of perimeter screens with Brandon Johnson. I mean, he's essentially, when he's on the floor with Edra, you know, just based off size, Brandon Johnson he's really the five. He plays like a stretch five. You put him out on the perimeter, and he creates matchup problems for people where he can step away from the basket and spread the floor a little bit. But, you know, I think overall, you know, really good performance. I think that Campbell essentially had one guy, Del Orso, if I'm saying his name properly. I think that's how you say it.
Correct. Del Orso, Anthony Del Orso from I want to say it's Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of going off there. Impressive player. The only thing you could really do, nobody else on the floor from Campbell was going to hurt you offensively.
Right.
It was really a one-man show. I mean, you could try to get the ball out of his hands and bring a double, you know, and just take the ball out of his hands. But, the reality is nobody else on that floor was going to beat you. So they just played him straight up. And, you know, he's a good player. He made tough shots. And I thought he got a lot of ticky-tack fouls too, like me and Dave talked about before the show. I thought the officiating was very ticky-tack down the stretch.
Horrible.
But hey, you know, that's the way it goes. And overall very good performance, a lot to build on, you know, with this team.
No doubt. When you look at this men's and women's basketball, both being 2-0, had a chance, by the way, give a shout out to the ladies. They won 105-35. My kids had never seen a basketball game live where East Carolina scored over 100. So my daughter was like her eyes were getting really big when she saw the scoreboard. But congratulations to Kim McNeil and company as they're 2-0. And they had an easy opponent, but at the same time, when you look at it, it's one of those things where we would normally win by 20 points and we won by 70. Great for them. They can actually shoot the ball. So I want to give them a shout out. And
both nice teams, to see both of our teams, right, Dave? And
right. That's what I was going to say.
We need some positivity. Hey, look at it this way. A lot of positivity this weekend for East Carolina in general. You know, between women's basketball, men's basketball, football finally gets a W. So, overall, pretty good weekend for East Carolina.
Yeah, and by the way, give myself a shout-out here. This Pirate won on Tuesday night, so I'm real happy with basketball. Football got to win, and I got to win Tuesday night. So, I'm really excited about hopefully we can have – we keep these weeks going where we have a lot of Pirate wins.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, going back to R.J. Felton's performance and, While we're talking about R.J. Felton, you know, congratulations to his younger brother on signing,
yep,
with the Pirates. And that was great to see, you know, tremendous player from Aiken, South Carolina. But R.J., I mentioned him having 30-11, played 38 minutes because you had so many guys in foul trouble. Pirates ended up having three guys foul out yesterday afternoon, you know, with some of those touch fouls that Matt referenced a moment ago. But, you know, with Caleb LeCount and Jaden Walker, and then also Bobby Pettiford having to sit, you saw RJ having to run the point some. It kind of became point by committee, but RJ did an excellent job. You know, he scored in a variety of ways. I want to say he knocked down, at least maybe about five threes.
Yep.
And he had the big three right at the end of the first half that put us up 13 at halftime, probably a 25-footer off the left wing, scored, you know, putbacks, taking it to the basket. Just all-around complete effort by R.J. Felton. Ezra Assar had 11-5 in 25 minutes. Brandon Johnson, after scoring 29 on Monday night, had 13-5. I mentioned what Bobby Pettiford did. And then you had Quentin DeBunge came off the bench, 6 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 steals. So, no, the Pirates didn't shoot the ball the way they would have liked, particularly from three in the first half. But much better in the second half. I want to say ECU was 6 out of 16 in the second half, which comes out to be, 36% or so. And you'll take that if you can shoot 36% clip on a regular basis. You'll certainly take that. And, you know, all around, not a bad effort. And coach in the post game, he was just talking about, in addition to the improved defensive performance, he said that was good, you know, having that sizable lead and hopefully, you know, learning how to play with that lead. And wasn't particularly pleased, you know, committed some fouls that you wouldn't like in that situation. And then also perhaps a few quick possessions where you didn't run as much clock as you'd have liked to.
Right.
But on the whole, not bad. And, hey, at least it's great to have such a sizable lead, 25 points, you know, to be able to make some of those mistakes and learn from them. And now we have, I guess, USC Upstate coming in.
Yeah. You know, one thing I'd really like to see a little bit, too, as the season goes on, obviously yesterday you didn't need it, because we were just in command the entire game. But I'd like to see Ezra get established in the post a little bit. because he's such a strong player, and he's explosive, and he's going to be a handful for, you know, for other forwards in the league to guard if he gets the ball down low in the post. He's got some nice moves. He uses his ball fakes well. So, you know, on those nights where the perimeter threes aren't falling, it's going to be important to establish somebody down low. So that's just something to look out for as the season goes on. I mean, he's just an explosive, strong athlete that can be utilized, I think, maybe a little more in the paint. But, hey, that's not a complaint. Obviously, last night we just didn't need it. But what are your guys' thoughts on that as we move forward?
Well, for me, you're right, Matt. We've got to have a – when we talk about in football with complementary, you know, with offensive, defensive, and special teams, I think with us, you're looking at the outside, the perimeter game, and the inside game. And I think because of Steph Curry and all the folks in the NBA, that three-pointers, the perimeter has become like the premium part of the game. But at the same time, I do think the teams like us that are in a great basketball conference, we're going to need that. I think one of the things I've been impressed with our coaches, Coach Schwartz, is they're getting guys that really truly belong in the American. The very athletic, long, lean. They're athletes, and I think you look at Ezra Sarr. I mean, he is unbelievable. When you look at Coach Schwartz, it says a lot about the coaching staff. You got to give your tip your hat to them, Matt and Bubba, for the fact that they've been able to keep these guys, a great nucleus of these players are back. You have, they're doing a great job. I think another thing, Matt, I want to get your take after Bubba's thoughts is how good Schwartz has done with high school recruiting. He hasn't abandoned that like a lot of basketball coaches, especially. He's actually doing a great job with balance where he's doing high school. And of course, they're always going to look at the portal, but he puts a huge emphasis on Eastern North Carolina and high school recruiting period.
Yeah, he's definitely made it very clear that it's going to be a blend of the two, that they're not going to go exclusively to either. And, you know, obviously it just depends kind of how things go and how well we're able to retain folks, to how much it may be portal versus high school. But you mentioned Ezra. What about that play he made? I want to say it was fairly early on in the game where he took it 90 feet, just showing the way he can handle the basketball, went behind his back about the free throw line. And that was a tremendous display of athleticism and his abilities. And then another point of emphasis that I meant to mention is this is something that Coach Schwartz highlighted in the post game. The rebounding, in addition to the defensive effort against Ferrum, left a lot to be desired. The Pirates allowed a much smaller team in Ferrum to have, I want to say, his double digits offensive rebounds. Yesterday, Campbell had two. East Carolina out-rebounded Campbell 12-2 on the offensive rebound side of things, and that was awesome to see.
Yeah, much better effort in that regard. And you know, overall, just a really good good team performance. You know, like, just to go back to something that Dave mentioned a few minutes ago, when you look at this team, physically, athletically, shooting-wise, this is the most impressive team we've had in a while, in my opinion. What I really like is, you know, there's four or five guys that can really score the basketball. And, you know, you look at like Campbell last night, they really have one guy that can hurt you.
One horse.
So you have some depth there, and that is a huge factor. You know, I mean, last night Felton went off. You saw in game one, it was Brandon Johnson. Ezra's going to have big nights. Pettiford is going to have big nights. You're going to see big nights from Walker. I mean, there's a lot of guys who can beat you, and that's what I like. Like, I think the best teams have multiple guys that can knock down shots, that can beat you defensively. And, you know, you really see that. And I don't think I'm overstating it. You know, I know we obviously just played two. We played a D3 and then Campbell, who's okay. But I don't think it's too early to say that this is an impressive team. And this is going to be a fun year to watch, I think. I mean, I'm more excited about this team than any other team I can recall, you know, for ECU.
No doubt. And Bubba, with the you look at Johnny Robertson, he has a great stat we can put up here. He says, it's very early, but the Pirates are number two nationally in two different categories. Opponents are only getting an offensive rebound on 8.3% of their opportunities, and the Pirates are getting a steal on 20.7% of opponents' possessions. That's great to see. Thank you, JR, as always, because he and Bubba are on top of it. I would never pretend, Matt, as you know, to be a numbers guy, but that's great to see. And you know what? You know what I was going to say, Matt? You're right about that. When people say competition. But even when we have these games early on in the season, what people would say early on preseason games, if you will, is these games are ones that we struggle. We eventually pull away. Sometimes we even lose them. And here we are. We got a nice 30-point win against Ferrum, and you get a nice 14-point win, like Bubba said earlier, against Campbell, that really we had up to 25 for there in the second half.
Absolutely. And, you know, you got to like what the mentality that Mike Schwartz is bringing in here. I think just kind of scratching the surface defensively of what he wants to be this year. Listen, it's early in the season, man. Basketball is a type of sport where you need to get five or six games under your belt before you really start to get into a rhythm of who you are as a team. So he's going to continue to make adjustments and, you know, he'll get him to where he wants to be. But, you know, I think that's going to be their bell cow in terms of like how successful they're going to be is going to be based on defense first, locking people down, and then obviously how well they shoot from the perimeter.
When you talk about that defense, and that's something that led to the early lead yesterday. Pirates got out to an 8 or 9 point advantage. Then you saw Del Orso for Campbell cut it to one pretty quickly, but then the Pirates pushed it right back out to 10 or 11 points. And the way they did that was, you know, guys like Bobby Pettiford, Jaden Walker, Quentin DeBunge, Brandon Johnson with excellent hands in the passing lanes and getting fast break opportunities. And we handled those fast break opportunities much better than we did on Monday night.
Yeah, I think like Matt said, with this team, what's great to see is you have guys like a Pettiford. Another thing is, Matt, you made a great point. This team has so much depth that it's like when you lose a Brandon Suggs a couple years ago, all of a sudden we lost him for 8 games or more, then the team kind of went down. But it looks like with this group, we have so much depth now that even if you have a guy get injured or two, you'll still be okay.
Yeah. You know, you tend to forget about guys on this team like Walker. You know what I mean? He's just kind of a team guy, but he's a guy that can step up. And we saw it last year. He's a guy that can occasionally, you know, light you up and give you 15 on a given night. So, you know, it's going to be fun to watch, man. I hope if this team can stay healthy, I think they're going to be a problem for just about everybody they play.
And, you know, it's way too early, and people are going to get on me for saying this, but if we keep playing like we're playing, then we have a good shot in our conference tournament, and we'll have a good shot, I think, with a national tournament, whether it be the NIT, NCAA, I don't know. But we have a shot to do great things. It's all going to come down to, for sure, how healthy we stay, because the talent, I think there's no question the talent's there. The chemistry is there. But when you're having to play any kind of sport, we know the injuries are a factor. Let's just hope that we can keep them to a minimum. And hopefully, like with the hamstring with Pettiford, I know that's a nagging injury, but hopefully it won't get inflamed, or I don't know what the right word is, Matt, on that. For I need Jared Plummer, others that know more about this, not my expertise with injuries.
Well, I know during his time in Kansas, they said he had had some, perhaps some scar tissue or something of that nature, where this is a hamstring in to his time with the Jayhawks, but that's about all the detail. Out, you know, you give credit to Steven Igoe there, what he is reporting during those days and weeks. During the first week of the season, you know, when Bobby was questionable.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what our young bigs can provide too. Because, you know, I think when you look at the lineup we had on the floor last night, you know, when you face a team with a true power big man that can really operate down low, I think that's one area where this team might get exploited, just because, you know, we don't have that 7-footer per se. That's, you know, a force down low, but yeah, you know, I'd like to see those young guys. I mean, obviously we're just getting started here, and I'm sure Coach Schwartz will get them more playing time as the season goes on and, you know, as they get ready. But it's going to be interesting to see how that kind of develops too, because those two young guys bring a lot of size and also athleticism.
No doubt. And with the game itself, you know, we're not used to playing with a lot of size. You know, it's that's one of those things, I think, when we're talking about the wing players and perimeter. But you're right, Matt, when we need to have a couple, at least one or two really good big men, because the matchups are going to change, as you know, night to night. And last night it wasn't the case, but there's going to be times when, especially, it's noticeable, wouldn't you say, down the stretch in the conference schedule? I mean, right now we can probably get away with it, but the conference schedule will probably be when we need the big men the most.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. No.
And we also, I want to remind everybody, as far as upcoming Wednesday night is the next game. Unfortunately, I miss it because of church, but it's Pitt County Schools Night Canned Food Drive. It's South Carolina Upstate, and that game will be at 7 o'clock. So 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. And yeah, that'll be a great.
Go ahead.
No, there was a little bit of overlag. I was just going to say that with that game, it's going to be great to get people out. And look, let's get people out. This coaching staff and the players have worked really hard. Matt, they sold more season tickets this year. Very exciting times for basketball, men's and women's have. So let's make sure that we get out on Wednesday night to see the Pirates play. And it doesn't matter who we're playing. What matters is the fact that we support our team, because these games right now, Matt, as you know, and Bubba knows as well, will help us on the back end when we're trying to get into a national tournament. And I do think we're on the bubble for one of those tournaments. I really do. And but right now we can't afford to have games where we don't have people attending, or, oh, it's just this team. We need to have people there, period, regardless who we're playing.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at South Carolina Upstate, and Bubba, I'm not sure if you – I don't want to jump in if you were going to talk about them, but I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure they played Vandy very close a few nights back, and they look to be – I believe they're 1-1. Am I right about that, Bubba?
They did play Vandy very competitively. I want to say led at halftime by – a couple buckets, and then Vandy ended up winning maybe by 6 or 7. And I know they had gotten beat in the opener by probably 25-30, but I want to say it's 82-53 perhaps by South Carolina. But
yeah, we've got, by the way, that
clearly playing some quality competition, you know, right out of the gates with two SEC opponents. And,
And you know they play Saturday. I just saw by the way, Matt, your favorite conference, the Big Ten, they have the package they have on Peacock for basketball. Upstate is playing Minnesota. I believe it's on Saturday. So Saturday afternoon, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, they have played. I mean, they, like Bubba mentioned, they lost to South Carolina by 29 in their opener. Then they lost to Vandy by only 7. They won by about, I don't know, 60 here over Carolina. I'm not sure exactly who this is. It says Carolina. So yeah, obviously ECU and then Minnesota. So they're definitely playing some competitive teams here.
No doubt, and that's going to be a great matchup as we're looking forward to a success. In fact, we need to get people there. By the way, ecupirates.com, you can go there or you can call 1-800-DOWEL-ECU. I know that I believe Elliot was asking about tickets. Their face value is at $20, Bubba, off the top of my head.
Yeah, and that's correct. And
all right. We got the fight song. We got the fight song going.
ECU victory.
Yeah, that's correct as far as the ticket price is concerned. And in Carolina, as you referred to, obviously it's we're not talking about UNCCH, as I like to say. No, Carolina University, I believe it's called, is a small Christian school based out of Winston-Salem, if I'm not mistaken. It's a
never heard of them.
Yeah, so I've heard of them, but I did not realize that USC Upstate had played that game or exhibition, whichever. What was the date of the game, Matt?
Let me run it back here.
Was that after Vandy?
That was after Vandy. So they played this game. This weekend at some point. Okay. Might have been today, actually. It might have been today, it looks like. Gotcha. So, yeah. I mean, and they won that game by 60. So, not much to take from that game. None of us have ever heard of.
I'm from North Carolina, and I've never heard of Carolina University.
Like, what in the heck? Speaking of USC Upstate and in wide margins, the women, they played USC Upstate on Thursday night.
Oh, man.
After defeating Elon 68-37 in the opener, in which they had an excellent defensive performance, but not particularly good on the offensive end, just shooting 30% or so against the Phoenix. Pirates bounced back in a big way offensively, shot in excess of 50%, I want to say 53 or 54%. Against the Spartans, and they defeated USC Upstate 105-35. That was impressive.
Biggest win, I think, Bubba, since 2011. Off the top, you're the numbers guy, JR. Maybe JR knows, but I think
the biggest. I wasn't sure about the margin, I would have thought at least that long, if not longer.
Yeah,
and then as far as scoring 100 points, it's the first time that the Lady Pirates have scored 100 points since 2017.
Yeah, it's been great to see that. And, you know, Kim McNeil has had great defensive teams. And it's exciting about that to see steals and all that layups. But they just, she'll tell you, they were struggling as far as shooting. And they've gone out, and I'm telling you, man, between the transfer portal and recruiting, good gracious, they've got an exciting brand of football, listen to me, basketball. And if you get a chance, see them in person. But if not, they're on ESPN Plus. And I was just happy for her and the staff. And there's a lot of great ladies on that team that they've worked really, really hard. They're putting a lot of hours and effort into it. So good to see them do well. And I think, Matt, they're finished second in the league. And USF is always strong in women's basketball. But don't be surprised if we see some epic games, including, Matt, you need to come down. I think, is that game with Dawn Staley in South Carolina, is that December 30th? It's the end of the year, I believe. But that's going to be a huge basketball game, and we need a lot of Pirates to come out to that game, not only because it's a national power of South Carolina, but that would be great for our program to see. I think our ladies will play a lot better than most people would give us credit.
Yeah, no doubt. They have it going in the right direction. Sorry, I had a little lag there.
Okay,
but, no worries. Absolutely. And, yeah, I am definitely hoping to get down for a few games here as the season heats up a little bit, man. I'm looking forward to seeing the updates in the stadium, the new seating, the new lights, all that. So
the seats are just, man, the seats give John Gilbert and company credit on the seats. I think the seats are excellent. And my daughter, Mackenzie, went with me yesterday, and she was so excited that we had the seats that close. I mean, it's so crazy, but guys, you can hear the players talk to each other. And I've never had that even before. I don't know what it is, but now that our seats are great, and I'm not as great as you are to have courtside, but it's pretty dang close. I think we're on row C. So it's like not end zone, but it's like corner, right, but close to the end zone. So a lot of fun, and looking forward to, we're going to ready to talk football here in a minute with the Pirate Football Playback. So if you're watching live, we'll have that for you in the matter of minutes. And Justin says, laughing out loud, hey, wherever you can sit, it's loud. We need a lot of people. And guys, that was one of the things, Bubba, you know, as well as I do, when that place, you get 3,000-4,000 even, but if you get that place sold out or a lot of people, it is so hard, Matt. I don't know how many games you've been to at Williams Arena, but you get a lot of people in there, and the place is so loud, and the fans are right there on the court where it creates a great atmosphere. It's really, really hard to hear there. Justin makes a great point, by the way. He says, the students have impressed me. Absolutely. They are sold out on student tickets for these games. It's just great to see that. They're really coming out and supporting this group, and that's only going to be better for as the season goes on.
Yeah, that's awesome. And just pulling up the upcoming schedule here, Dave, just taking a look at what we have coming up here. You know, you have some games definitely to get excited about, you know. Like I think we mentioned, South Carolina on December 9th. That's one. Obviously, Florida on the road, December 14th. But and then we have Florida Atlantic guys coming in here. That's another one, interesting one to get excited.
We go to Boca Raton. Unfortunately, we don't get them in Minji's this year.
Ah, correct, correct. You are right. I just pulled that up. That's unfortunate.
We do have South Carolina. Coming up, and that'll be December 9th. And then we have the Town Bank Holiday Classic around Thanksgiving. That's going to be a lot of fun. So we'll have that. It's a multi-team event. So MTE, and we play, I know, Sunday the 19th. We'll play and Tuesday. Is that right? Is it just two games for us, Bubba?
No, it's three.
Three. Okay, three games.
We play Northeastern on Sunday. I believe that's a 2 o'clock tip off.
That's correct.
And then you also have Kennesaw State and Georgia Southern. It's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
There you go. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yep.
And so that would be a unique experience hosting a MTE multi-team event at Williams Arena Minji's Coliseum. And obviously you got the football game on Saturday against Navy. And then Pirate basketball Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So hopefully fans will get out and support that. Great opportunity to get off to an excellent start. You know, we should, if we do what we can do and play the way we can play, carry a 3-0 record into Sunday afternoon against Northeastern.
No question. Hey, we have a good chance here. We got to roll off a lot of these wins. And Matt, one of the things that's going to be, you're talking about the conference. So we'll start our conference schedule. That'll be coming up in January at Florida Atlantic. That's where the rubber meets the road, as we all know. And that's where I'm going to be curious to see. That's where I'm going to be curious to see us do well. What do you think? That's one area that with a conference.
Yeah, I think over the next, you know, month or so until conference play starts, it's really important to find your identity as a team, continue improving on both offensively and defensively, but, you know, trying to find creative ways to score. Because as you know, when you get into conference play, the defense is going to get tighter. Everything's going to get more intense. You know, it just gets more challenging in general. So, yeah, over the next month, you just want to improve as much as possible. You want to continue to develop depth, I think, is a big key. Like, get a lot of guys involved. Get some of the younger players involved as well, because you're going to need everybody at some point throughout the course of the season. So, really good opportunity here, you know, with a lot of really manageable wins, you know. And when I look at this schedule, you know, again, I'm not saying we're a Final Four team. I don't want to overstate it, but I do really like this team. And, you know, when I look at this schedule, you know, all these games look winnable to me, honestly. Yeah. I mean, even, you know, Florida right now is not a world beater. Right. I mean, all these games to me look very manageable. So if you can get through the non-conference in really good shape, it's going to be a fun season in conference play.
Yeah, the Gators had a pretty solid outing, you know, at least a competitive game. I just saw the last couple minutes in their game in Charlotte. The event and the name of the event's escaping me, but it's a tournament that East Carolina played in, or one day event rather, that East Carolina played in when they played Liberty at the Spectrum Center under Joe Dooley. So they had a competitive game, lost by 3 points. I want to say it's 73-70 to Tony Bennett and UVA. Came down to the wire, as you would guess, with that score, and a very entertaining game.
Yeah, they beat Loyola by 20, and that's Loyola, Maryland, not Loyola, Chicago. Beat them by 20, and then they lost to Virginia by 3. So I'm pretty confident, really, really feel like we're going to be in every one of these games with this team. It's going to be interesting to see.
No doubt. And big win again, 77-63. Don't forget about the big game Wednesday night with Upstate's South Carolina. And to get your tickets again, ecupirates.com, or you can simply dial the number toll-free Monday through Friday, 1-800-DIAL-ECU. Do you guys have anything before we go?
Just looking forward to talking football, man. A lot to break down from yesterday's game at Florida Atlantic. So just looking forward to talking about that.
Yeah, I think we won this part, the first game here with the Pirate basketball overtime. And those of you that are live, stay with us, because we're going to get out of here. And then we're going to do our Pirate football playback. Stay with us. Appreciate you so much for the support, not only this program, but obviously the basketball program. Again, final time, Pirates win big 77-63. And you were listening to the Pirate basketball overtime right here on the Sports Objective. Stay with us. More TSO coming up right here.
What purple?